turn to Ezekiel chapter 11 again. I will not read all 21 verses again. Be turning to Ezekiel chapter 11. Now let me recap. What I spoke about last week is this. Error, God Almighty always exposes error.
Yes, sir.
Especially amongst His people.
Wow.
To illustrate that, you remember the Philistines took the ark. They won it in battle. Because of Israel's unbelief and failure toward God. And they took the ark. Now God killed a man in Israel just for reaching up to stay the ark when that ark all looked like it was ready to fall off this cart. God killed that man. The Philistines had it in their country for a long time. Now some bad things happened. But God never brought all great things upon the Philistines. They had a few physical problems, maladies that God gave them, and I won't go into that. They're a little odd. Error is never just another way of seeing things.
That's right.
Error, that is, things that are not true about God and about man, as saith the Lord from this book, and nowhere else. My opinion, your opinion, does not matter. The opinion of the masses out here does not matter. Error is never just another way of seeing things. Error is an abomination to God.
Yes, sir.
And error is damning to the souls of men. Never fall into this fatalistic trap. Since there is an elect, then it don't matter about what's said and what's believed. Don't ever fall into that trap. It's not. Error is not just another way of... Well, we don't agree. Well, if I'm right and you don't agree with me, then that means you're wrong. Now, we may both be wrong. But I'm going to tell you what. The gospel I preach from this book is not wrong.
Amen.
And that is not pride on my part. That's the boldness God Almighty give me as a pastor and teacher. I know what the gospel is.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you this. Error will never win the day over God's purpose and God's promise of grace in Christ. Never. As I said before, we are not the poor little church that is under attack, poor us. We are to go and stand, Joe. And if they kill us, our God's sovereign purpose still marches forth. They've tried to silence us for 2,000 years now, in particular concerning the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It hadn't worked.
Exactly.
It hadn't worked. And though they may silence me today, it will not cease. God will always have a witness upon the face of this earth. Error is always exposed, but grace reigns. Paul wrote it in Romans 5, verses 19 and 21, but specifically these words. Where sin abounded, what? Grace did much more abound.
Amen.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, what? Reign. Grace is not what I believe. It's who God is. Grace is not a mere doctrine that I hold to. I hear people where I work all the time, well, I don't believe in that kind of grace, this kind of grace. You know, there's always some pejorative with it. Well, I believe in the God of all grace.
Amen.
Man's fall in Adam, like Israel's captivity, as we see here in the book of Ezekiel. Man's fall in Adam, like Israel's captivity under a heathen king, was God's pronounced judgment. God meant for this to happen.
Yes, sir.
The basic purpose was for what reason? That God might get himself glory in delivering those people out of that heathen bondage.
Yes, sir.
That's what it was all about.
Yeah.
It was God's pronounced judgment. And deliverance comes. Whether it was for Israel of old, under this heathen domination in Babylon, under these heathen kings, or whether it's our corruption and our bondage under the Adamic fall and the curse. Deliverance comes, and it comes only when God is pleased to visit in grace, mercy, and compassion. Salvation is up to God, not up to men.
Amen.
So here's the subject for this morning. God's grace always reigns. Now let's read it. Chapter 11, mainly verses 13 through 21. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, remember who he was? He was one of the men that spread lies in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
When I prophesied, he died. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
The man fell down dead.
Yes, sir.
God killed him. Now this is God.
Yeah.
This is God. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Are you going to wipe out that last little remaining group that's left there? That's what he's asking about. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Notice how they're speaking out both sides of their mouth.
Yeah.
Get away from the Lord, but the Lord gave us this land. That's what so-called Christianity always does. They tell a lie, and you're just right, you're right. They have just enough truth to make it sound like they're preaching from the Bible. I preach from the Bible. So did Satan.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So did Satan.
Yeah.
He quoted Scripture.
Yes, he did.
Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. They shall come hither. They shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes. And notice the order of that. There is no walking in God's statutes till God does something for you inwardly first.
That's right.
But they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. There are five things I want to give you from this last few verses here, at least of my text from Ezekiel chapter 11. And remember, God's grace always reigns.
Amen.
It always reigns. Number one, deliverance is only for the captives.
That's right.
Go back and read 16 and say verse 16. Deliverance is only for the captives. Now everybody's lost until God saves them. But the sad thing is, the masses don't understand they're lost. I was a preacher. I was in religion. I preached revival meetings before God ever saved me, Joe.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Was lost as lost could be lost, but didn't even know it. That's how lost I was. You see, usually when you're really lost, you have no idea you're even lost. Deliverance is only for the captives. And this is the very truth that our Lord expressed. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous.
That's right.
Now, is there anybody really righteous? No. But millions think they are.
Exactly.
Millions even thank God. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like that guy, Walter Pelton. I'm not like that guy, Joe Galusic, or like those people over there at Sovereign Grace Chapel. Our Lord expressed it this way: I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Number two, the deliverance of our text is not the judicial aspect of deliverance, but the experiential aspect of deliverance. Let me try to show you this from the truth of the New Testament. There is judicial deliverance. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says that before Christ sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and he did that when he ascended back into glory. Remember, the disciples sat there and watched him be received out of their sight in the cloud. The Bible tells us he went up then, Mac Hatfield, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Well, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 says, before he even did that, he purged our sins.
Yes, sir.
When were my sins dealt with, if they were dealt with? When were your sins dealt with, if your sins were dealt with? They were dealt with when Christ died on that tree.
Amen. That's right.
When were they purged? They were purged. Not when you believe. Not when you repent.
Yeah, that's right.
They were purged when he died on that tree. Then he went up to glory and sat down. Yeah. That's judicial salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's deliverance judicially.
Yes, sir.
But there is an experienced deliverance as well.
Amen.
Paul writes about that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, specifically verses 8 through 16. But he says this: this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said, I used to be like this.
Yeah.
I'm not that way anymore. You know what he says?
Yeah.
Not like that. I'm actually an example of all those who should after me believe.
That's right.
Believe. This is what we're talking about here in Ezekiel chapter 11. Not the judicial aspect, but the experiential aspect. But let me say, the experiential, what we experience in time by work of God's grace, flows from the judicial act of Christ at Calvary.
Amen.
That was essential to our salvation.
Yes, sir.
Because everything experienced, if it wasn't for that, what Christ did at Calvary, our sins would still stand out, crying before God that we be condemned of God.
Yeah.
Sin had to be dealt with, and it was dealt with back then.
Exactly.
In Christ. Yes, then sir. God deals with us, and only then does God deal with us in mercy and compassion in what we experience in what men call conversion.
Yeah.
So that's number two. Deliverance is only for captives. If you're not a sinner, God never says anything about salvation to you.
That's exactly right.
That's just it. I mean, if you're here and you think, I'm a pretty good person, God will accept what I do and what I think, that I have no message for you, but other than this, you're under the judgment of God.
Exactly.
And you don't even know it.
Yeah.
But if you're here and you're a sinner, you're corrupt, you see yourself in bondage under a heathen king, you see yourself being a slave to sin and self and the devil, I got a message for you. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus Christ. But this deliverance is and must be experienced. It will be experienced, and it must be experienced. Deliverance, they had to come out of that bondage. Did they not? They had to come out of that bondage. That's number two. Here's number three. Error. This is my main point for right now. Error dies only when truth is proclaimed.
Yeah.
When did Pelatiah die?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it came to pass when I prophesied, Pelatiah fell down dead.
That's right.
Now listen to me. Be careful about this fatalistic idea that quotes partial verses or even whole verses out of context. We should never, ever take the truth for granted.
That's right.
Read what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, but specifically verse 5. He said some people came down from Jerusalem. And when they went down, it was two things. One, they condescended down.
Yeah.
They thought they were up here, and they were going to come down and tell these people what it was really all about. And physically, they were on Jerusalem, on the high ground. They came down. You know what they were doing? They said, well, yeah, you need Jesus, but you need circumcision too.
Yeah.
They were mixing law and grace is what they were trying to do.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
But never take truth for granted, because Paul says, I don't care who they were.
That's right.
I didn't withstand them, no, not for even an hour.
That's right.
That the truth of God might continue with you.
Amen.
Well, God will do it by the Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, you're playing games.
Yeah. There you go. That's right.
That's right. You're playing games. Because God Almighty has ordained instrumentality to use in this word. And if you look down on the instrumentality, you're not looking down on men if they're the instruments. You're looking down on God.
Exactly. That's right.
Go back and read Zechariah chapter 4, where it said, not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit saith the Lord. Go back and read that. The Spirit of God don't just make things happen. Well, there's error in the church. Everybody just sit back and be patient. Eventually, the Spirit of God will deal with it. Let me tell you something. You come into this assembly, small we might be, weak we might be, but you come into this assembly and you try to bring error this into this assembly, you will have a war on your hands.
You're right. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You'll have a war on your hands. And that's not a matter of pride. I know that God sent me just like Moses knew God sent him when he walked into that throne room and said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And I'm saying, as a pastor God Almighty sent and put in this place, don't put your hands on God's people to bring them into bondage. Christ has delivered them. Preach Christ to them and let them alone.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Never take the truth for granted. Paul says some men, they subvert whole houses.
Yeah.
Whose mouth must be what? Yeah. Stopped.
That's right.
Make them shut up.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. You preach the truth hard enough, bold enough, strong enough, sure enough. You know what? They're going to leave.
You're right.
They'll skedaddle right on out of town.
Oh,
that's why we're so small. We've had more leave than we have that's here right now. You know why? But we ain't playing games here.
Exactly.
We may be nothing in the scheme of this world. Right? Don't you think that that army that followed Pharaoh out of Egypt, although there were millions, some people say maybe 3 million, but they were 3 million slaves, David.
That's right.
Slaves! Who are they?
Yeah.
Who are they? They're God's people.
Amen.
And you touch one of God's people, you're touching the apple of God's eye.
That's right.
You touch God's gospel, you're touching the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
You touch God's Son, Jesus Christ, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Are not we in Him?
Amen.
So if they touch us, who are they touching? Him.
That's
if
right.
They touch Him, is He not I am? God manifest in the flesh?
Yes,
if
sir.
They touch Him, who are they touching? They're touching God Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, God Almighty.
That's right. Yeah.
Never take truth for granted. Go back and read what Zechariah prophesied concerning Zerubbabel. He said, what? He said, say grace, grace, grace unto it.
Yeah.
And with this 7-faceted candlestick, not 12 this time, 7,
yeah.
A golden candlestick with a reservoir of oil. It had what? 2 olive trees, one on the right hand, one on the left hand. Witnesses, it says. Witnesses!
Yes,
it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Who does that?
Yeah.
Fallen sinners.
Yeah.
God's going to send a fallen sinner who's been saved by God's grace to tell another fallen sinner that Jesus Christ is salvation. That's the way God's ordained to work this thing.
Yes, sir.
And you despise that, you despise God. Well, I know we love to quote, well, who is so-and-so but men by whom you believe? That's right. You don't give credit to the men. But don't you dare mock God's ordained way.
Yeah, that's right.
When those people came against Moses in that wilderness, you remember what happened every time they did? What happened every time they came against Moses? What happened to them? Thousands of them would die.
That's right.
Would they not?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because it wasn't an attack on Moses. It's an attack on God.
Amen.
That's why I have the boldness I have when I stand here before you and preach. Because I am nothing.
Exactly.
And I have a wife that will testify to you that I am nothing. But I also testify to this, as she would well testify, our God is everything.
Amen.
Let us not preach, and you preached, you very well did it. Don't, let us not preach partial quotes or partial truth. Our word, I know you're one of the elect, Paul said. Why? Because our word came not, our gospel came not to you in word only. But let me tell you something, it did come to you in word, though.
Yes, sir, it did. That's right.
Now, it has to be in more than word only, but it will come in word.
That's right.
You don't, God, you don't just have a, you don't have a, that people think they got to have them apostolic powers that you talked about, Joe. They think, I lay down in bed one night, I had this vision, this dream, they wake up and they know God. It don't happen like that. God will send you a corrupt person who's just as sinful as you are to tell you about Jesus Christ, and he will bow you down under that truth at the feet of Jesus Christ himself. Why? Well, that's the way God's ordained it. Error dies only when truth is proclaimed.
Amen.
Only when truth. When I prophesied, Pelatai died. Now, notice only Pelatai died. Remember, there was another one.
Yeah.
We will never stamp out error.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not a matter of half and half. It's a matter of this. You preach the truth, God will stamp out the error he's pleased to stamp out.
There you go. That's right.
Is that not the point there?
There you go.
That's the point there. God will cause even the wrath of man to praise him.
Yes, sir.
The rest of wrath, he'll do what? What's he going to do with it? He'll restrain it. He'll restrain it. There's number four. Reigning grace is the experience of hope. And I want to read these to you again. Verses 14 through 20. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Now that's the rebellion they were under. That's what there was going on.
Yeah.
Therefore say, I'm going to just wipe you all out. Is that what he says? He could have.
Oh, yeah.
Could he not?
Oh, yeah.
He could have, and rightfully so.
Yes, sir.
You remember there was a time. You remember when Moses first brought the Ten Commandments down off the mount? You remember that account? And what did he hear? Joshua said, I hear the voice, I hear the sound of war in the camp. Moses said, Joshua, that ain't the sound of war. That's the sound of singing I hear. And when they finally came into eyesight, what did they see? Thousands of the Israelites naked, dancing around a golden calf.
Yes, sir.
And what did Moses do? He had them two tables of stone, and he crashed them down at his feet. And what did God tell Moses to tell the Levites to do? Take your sword, gird it on, and start through the camp. And anybody that's unrepentant, that's the whole context, wipe them out.
That's what it says.
Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
Now you take the sword, and guess what? The sword of God's word, it'll start wiping out the unrepentant. They'll start leaving. We don't have to physically slay anybody, Mason. Just preach the word. Take that sword. Start preaching that word. Preach the truth of God. What's going to happen? They'll leave. They'll die. They'll skedaddle on out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, but look, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from, you say the I. Read it. I will.
Amen.
It ain't our will that matters. It's his will that matters.
Amen.
I mean, this, maybe I keep saying it because maybe somebody just ain't got it yet. I mean, if even the Lord of glory, God manifest in the flesh, in obedience to the Father, would say, not my will, but thy will be done, why would I be wanting to look to my will? Huh? His will, even as a man, was perfect, in perfect accord. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. Yet even he cried out, Joe, not my will, but your will be done. Why would I look to something men call free will in me? That is so asinine. No, it's worse. It's so rebellious and unbelieving.
Yes, sir.
God's will. And if God damns me, he's done right.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yeah.
If he sends me to hell, he will have done right. He will still be God, and there won't be one skin cell that he would have lost, Joe.
Yeah.
Somebody says, if he was a man. He is a man.
Yes, that's right.
He is a man.
Yes,
Jesus of Nazareth. Reigning grace. Look at it. God himself is the hope. You see it? Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them.
Yes, sir.
You see, most people think, and we're even prone to do that, well, God gave me salvation. And that's true.
Yes.
I'm not trying to discredit that. But remember, he is our salvation.
Amen.
He is our sanctuary, even when we're still in bondage.
That's right.
Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come.
That's right.
Oh, what a glory. Like when, was it Simeon? Picked up that, what was it, 8-day-old baby? Called Jesus, remember?
Yes, sir.
His parents? They brought him to the temple to be circumcised on the 8 days old. And Simeon took him up in his arms and said, God, you can kill me now.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said. You can kill me now. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
Yeah.
God is our salvation.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's looking for God to be their salvation, to give them salvation. That's the problem. They don't want God himself to be their salvation.
There you go.
They don't really like who God is. They just want God to keep them out of hell. I don't like that kind of God. Well, the God of this book, the sovereign, absolute, holy, just, righteous God, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, sir.
God himself is our hope. God himself gathers and assembles, verse 17.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. God gathers, he calls out of bondage, and he assembles his people together. And let me tell you, even before you actually can assemble, you'll want to assemble.
That's right.
Won't you, Paula?
Yeah.
If you're really one of God's, you'll want to assemble. I'm tired. We play this game. Well, people who made professions, they don't care about being here, but, I believe they're one of God's. Based on what? Something they tell you privately, but they don't want to express it publicly with the rest of us?
There you go.
Really? You're not going to convince me of that. You're not going to convince me. You may convince yourself. You may make yourself feel better. But you're not going to convince me of that. Because if you convince me of that, I'll start preaching that junk. And we'll all be gradually going where?
Yeah.
To where it don't really matter, does it?
Yeah.
I will gather you out. I'll assemble you.
Yes,
he does the same thing in the New Testament.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Paul was saved to do what? Right after God had saved him. Join himself to the disciples. The salvation you got different than the kind Paul got? No. No. Number 3, verse 18, God grants repentance.
Yes, sir.
God grants what? Wait a minute, it's repentance.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, okay. So, let's see, I still live like I basically live. I just think a little different about God now. I go to church as much now as I did when I was lost. Really? Do you come to worship?
There you go.
That's the thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, everybody, people talk about I go to church. No, I'm asking you, do you come to worship?
Amen.
That's what repentance does for you. Look at it, verse 18. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations from thence. God will not be worshipped in half or in part. He says, it's what Paul says, that you turned to God. And that's first. The what? From idols.
Amen.
And we are constantly turning from our idols. But why? Because we turn to God.
Yeah.
And you see, the thing about we need to be faithful and honest with men and women. I don't care if it's someone you love with all your heart. Tell them you're not where the book says God's people are. Rather than trying to placate them and pat them on the back and give them an attaboy or that's okay, maybe you're all right. Is that what we read here? Where was their deliverance? Out of Babylon and back into the land.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's real deliverance. Now, God will be a little sanctuary to you even when you're under that bondage. But what's God going to do? He's going to call you out of that.
Exactly.
That's a part of the deliverance, David.
Yeah.
You can't pick and choose what part you want of it. And God always gathers his people in repentance. Look, verse 19, God gives spiritual ability. Go back and read it sometime. I will put a new heart in. Spiritual ability. Not just doing it. You got to have the power to do it first. Right?
Yeah.
And I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart in the flesh. Why? That you may walk. Most people want to try to walk with the old heart. And that is what Isaiah calls even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. You see, the best we can offer to God, if it's through what we are by nature, it's filthy rags.
Amen.
Filthy rags. Number 5, verse 20, God has ordained our walk.
Yes.
That they may walk in my statutes. Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
That they may walk in my statutes. I love him today because he first loved me from eternity.
Amen.
I love him today because he loved me and sent his son to be made like me and to die in my place. I love him because he first loved me. But here's my last point, so Joe can lead us in the table. I'll wind this down. There's one last verse. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, well, don't worry about it. Throw one of the elect, it'll just be all right. You know, there's people that actually believe that. There are people who've actually told other people who have been to this assembly that. Now, you know what? In word, that's right. In attitude, it's dead wrong. If you're one of the elect, you will be all right. You know why? Not because he's going to leave you down there in Babylon and in captivity, but because he will call you out.
Yes, sir.
That's why you're going to be all right. He's going to call you out of that. He's going to assemble you back with God's people where you belong.
Yes, sir.
And you'll rejoice in it. Here's my last, number 5, my last one concerning verse 21. Beware of presumption. Right? Beware of presumption. Where grace reigns, repentance always follows.
Yes, sir.
That's just a fact. Where grace reigns.
Yes.
Now, if grace is just something you've got in your head, you know, if it's just something you've got academically, if it's just the doctrines you've learned, if you've come to learn the 5 points of Calvinism, how great you are. No, it's not about, it's not what it's about. Where grace reigns, repentance always follows. You bow down to Christ. That's where it begins. Paul said our message is this. We preach repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Both are there.
Yes, sir.
Or there is no grace there. Now, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I believe all this. No, I'm asking, have you repented toward God? But others, so I've repented toward God, but I don't know about all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that Jesus stuff, and what he really did and who he really did it for. He only did it for certain people. I don't know about all that. No, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah chapter 31. Turn back, just a couple books back. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. And I'll end with this. Listen to how Jeremiah put it. Jeremiah 31 verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Now you remember Ephraim? A rebellious child.
Oh, yeah.
A rebellious tribe.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? You know, as the old saying goes, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. It can't. It can't. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. Now that's just the way it is. God don't try to chastise anybody. If he chastises you, bless God, you're going to be chastised. He's not depending on you for it. Now look, though, look. And I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Have you ever been there? Have you ever seen, let me give you another illustration. You ever seen somebody try to break a horse that's never been ridden before? How it bucks, kicks, huh? Sometimes even after you think, after they've been trained a little bit, they can buck and kick on you. This is what we're kind of talking about here. As a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke. But look, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Do you see it?
That's it.
In other words, if God does it for you, it'll happen.
Yes, sir.
It'll happen. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is, isn't it? Now somebody said, well, why didn't it happen to everybody? Because God ain't purposed to do it to everybody.
Exactly.
He's purposed to do it for his elect.
Yes, sir.
And for his elect he shall. For his elect he is. For his elect he will. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed. Note the order. If you've ever been ashamed of yourself, it's because God Almighty already did a work in you.
That's right.
Yeah, He already done a work in you. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. You know what? That's not a happy experience, but it leads to a joyous experience.
Yes, sir.
Because then you're a prime subject to bow to the feet of Christ. You know that?
Yeah.
When God brings you to that place right there, you can't but look up, Joe.
Yeah.
Can't you?
Right.
I mean, this is talking about being brought down low.
That's exactly.
My question to you, my question for me is this. Have I ever been brought there?
That's it.
Because Christ is way above me. If you're going to see Christ, you always got to look how?
Up.
That's right. The only people that's going to see Christ are only people who can look up. Who's the only people who can look up? The ones God's put their face right down the dirt.
Exactly.
That's the way God saves sinners. You know what? And that's the only way God saves sinners. All right, Joe.